Up here, we're kicking off a new series where we are talking about Christmas. But what I have found is so often when we think about Christmas and what happened, that incredible night where the virgin gave birth to a child, we imagine this serene, calm, silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Like, it's just perfect. It's exactly what Mary and Joseph would have wanted, right? But when you actually read the text of the Bible, what you realize is this whole very quick and unplanned family is not at all what they probably had in mind for themselves. They were probably not thinking, sure, let's have a baby before we ever get married. And then let's make sure that we travel really far away so that you can give birth in somebody's stable. And then a couple years later, let's run away from the king who's trying to murder our son. So that is what we're going to be talking about the next 3 weeks as we talked about the unplanned parenthood that Mary and Joseph experienced in this entire Christmas story. They did not have clinics and Lamaze classes and baby showers that the church family threw for them. No, they experienced something completely different. Their plans were shattered, their plans for themselves, by God's much bigger plans that he had for them. You see, God had chosen them for something incredible. To raise his own son on earth. And so before we even get into our message, I'm not even to the introduction, but we already have our first application point, and that is this: God's best plans often disrupt your own plans. And that's going to be the bottom line for this entire series. We tend to be people who like to plan. We like to know what's going on. Some of you more so than others. Some of you, when something small like disrupts your Christmas Eve plans, you're like, oh my goodness, now the turkey's going to be ready at the wrong time and it might have to sit on the counter for 30 minutes. What are we going to do? We're going to take a breath. Mary and Joseph had much bigger fish to fry than that your Christmas dinner is thrown off by 30 minutes. Okay? We have a God who sometimes takes our lives a different direction. He sometimes disrupts our plans. What we think we're going to do, it's all lined out. This is where I'm going. This is what my family's going to look like. I'm going to have 3 children. It will go boy, girl, boy. They will all be healthy. They will all be smart. And they will all have the careers I pick for them. That's not life, is it? But we like to hold on. We like to cling. We like to control. We like to plan. What we have to understand is God's best plans often disrupt our own plans, and we have to be okay with that. And we have to recognize sometimes when our plans get disrupted, rather than shaking our fists and saying, why did that happen? Instead, go to God and say, okay, God, why did this happen? Show me, teach me, lead me. And rather than being angry about it, follow that plan that God has for your life. Don't fight it. Just follow it and see where he leads you. So, did any of you watch daytime television in the 90s? Or just me? Sally Jesse Raphael, Jenny Jones, Montel Williams, Phil Donahue, all those shows. My mom should have never just left me at home as a 5th and 6th graders. I didn't watch the soaps. Maybe some of you were like, no, I watch my stories. I watched these crazy talk shows. It taught me a lot about the depravity of humanity. But there was one person in particular. He had this great catch line. Maury Povich often had lovers who were no longer lovers, and she'd be pregnant, and he'd be there, and he'd be like, that's not my baby. And then he would take the paternity test, and he would come out on camera, and he would be like, Jerry, this child is not, you are not the father. That was the line that he would say repeatedly, you are not the father. And I thought, how fitting for Christmas. Joseph, is this guy who thinks he's got everything set up. You know, there's this lovely young lady, and between their families, they've arranged this marriage, and he's excited to be married to her. And what we're going to see today is essentially he gets thumped with a giant. Joseph, you are not the father. It's not his plans. And yet he is one to accept it. So, this is the surprise twist in the story of the Bible, is that rather than being this perfect, picture-perfect Christmas, it actually has more in common with a Maury Povich show. So let's explore how this all plays out in Matthew chapter 1. Today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. Some of you may not realize, but essentially all of our Christmas stories are found only in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. If I ever tell you that I'm preaching the Christmas story out of Mark, it means I'm skipping Christmas, because Mark doesn't say a word about Jesus before the age of 30. But so Matthew and Luke are the primary texts. Matthew speaks more specifically through the line of Joseph. And so this is what we read in verses 19 and 20. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And so, as I said, you see here, this focuses in on Joseph. All it tells us is that Mary had been told that she was going to be pregnant and conceive through the Holy Spirit. And that whole story is in the Gospel of Luke, and we're not going to get into that story, but you probably are familiar with it today. What we see here, though, is that we've got Joseph, who is through the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and ultimately King David. That's the beginning, the very beginning of Matthew is a long list of names. It's where the New Testament kicks off. And the reason that's there is to show us that Joseph is in the line of King David because Jesus, the Messiah, has to be from the line of David. But when we read these verses, here's what jumps out to me. At some point, Joseph, who's got this lovely bride-to-be, finds out she's pregnant. How does he find out? Did we wait until she had a baby bump and people started talking? I assume Mary didn't wait that long, and Mary went to Joseph and said, Joseph, I've got something to tell you. Imagine how that conversation would go. Honestly, put yourself in Joseph's shoes. You are planning on marrying a young lady who comes to you and says, I'm pregnant, but I promise you I've never had sex with anybody else. It's from God. Are you believing that? No, nobody is believing that. I'm sure this conversation might have been a little heated even. Like when you put yourself in those shoes, we're not told what happened in this conversation, but they're human. And I can imagine that Joseph clearly and obviously did not believe her. Because what the story tells us is he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And the reason he had to divorce her, we have to understand this concept culturally for them of being pledged. So they had been pledged together, meaning it's a little more than an engagement. He couldn't just say, yeah, I don't want to marry you, and just run away. He couldn't ghost her. It had been formalized beyond that point, and yet they had not yet had a full marriage ceremony. So it's a point between engagement and marriage for us that we don't have, but it did require a full divorce, a certificate of divorce for him to end this relationship with her. And in fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 22, it actually talks about how a woman who is pledged to be married to one man, but who willfully has sex with another man, both she and the man she has adultery with are to be stoned. And so the Bible takes this very, very seriously. Joseph had every right, if he had wanted, to make this a big deal and to take her out and publicly shame her and scorn her. But instead, what we see is he steps back and he decides he's just going to quietly step away from her. He's going to divorce her, even though he knows that proof of the law is on his side. He knows she's been, in his mind, unfaithful. He knows it. He decided not to make a big deal of it, to move along quietly, not submit her to scorn and shame and embarrassment, but also to say, yeah, I don't believe your story at all. I'm leaving and I'm stepping out of here. And what we see here is that Joseph's righteous character is revealed in how he responded to the unexpected crisis. And the same is true for all of us. Your righteous character is revealed in how you respond to unexpected crises. Joseph could have been a jerk. He could have decided to make an example of her, but he didn't. He showed a level of mercy. He showed a level of kindness in saying, you know what, we're just gonna sweep this under the rug. And the same is true of all of us who have our faith grounded in Jesus. Do we respond to the unexpected messes of life like God the Father would want us to, in a godly way? Or do we respond to crises like the rest of the world, where all of a sudden our hair's on fire and we're running around and we're blaming people and we're saying, I can't believe you did this, and we're getting angry and we're saying nasty things? Because your true character is on full display, not when life is easy. When life is easy, everybody's able to live like a happy Christian. The question is, when life gets really hard, when people throw deep challenges your way, that's when we see what's really on the inside. And what we saw in Joseph is Joseph was a just man. He was a faithful man, is how different translations describe him. And so he was a man who tried to follow God. And when this situation comes up with Mary, we see his true colors come out. And he tries to show a level of compassion and care there. And this simply raises the question for you. Would other people say you respond like Jesus in crises? And if not, pray and say, God, I want you to refine my character, that when I'm in the heat of the moment, I want to respond the way you want me to respond. Back to the story. Verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from his sins. So while Joseph had made up his mind that he was going to set Mary aside, God had different plans. Even in the middle of the mess, God had handpicked Joseph to be the father of Jesus. So God sent an angel to convince Joseph that exactly what Mary had told him was actually true. And in some ways, I'm sure when Joseph woke up from the dream, he felt a little bit relieved. She hadn't cheated on him. She hadn't lied to him. But instead, it was true. God was coming to this world. But that didn't make Joseph's life any easier. Because as much as they might have tried to tell, he might have tried to tell maybe his mom. You can imagine his mom finding out that the bride that he was betrothed to was pregnant. And he's like, Mom, don't worry. It's not me. It's nobody else. It's the Son of God, came from God by the Holy Spirit. She had a dream. I had a dream. Mom, don't worry about it. He was a mama's boy, She was probably like, this is terrible. This is the worst thing in the world. He had to face that scorn. It wasn't just his mom. It would have been the whole community. They were talking. They didn't have TV. They didn't have daytime talk. So they just had to gossip about each other, I'm sure. You know that they were talking about the little girl who was pregnant and Joseph saying, it's not mine. He had to face that his whole life. This Jesus, illegitimate. In fact, It stuck with that family all the way until Jesus' ministry in his 30s. We see a story in John chapter 8 where Jesus is having a confrontation with the Pharisees, which is rather common. But in this confrontation, what we see happen is Jesus basically tells them that they are not living like their father, their supposed father Abraham. He says that you're living like your father. And they're thinking, well, who is our father? And they respond to Jesus and they say specifically, we aren't children out of sexual immorality. And if you're not thinking about what they might have thought about Jesus' birth, you read that verse and you're just like, oh, that's interesting. But they literally said the Greek words that we aren't ex porneia, from that word porn, pornography. We're not that. You know that was throwing shade at Jesus because everybody still remembered his past. So yes, Joseph had a dream and was told that this child is from God himself and this is going to be the son of the Lord Most High, but throughout their entire lives, they had to deal with this stigma that Jesus was born illegitimately and who was the father. This just shows us that obedience to God may require sacrificing your reputation. When Joseph woke up from the dream, he had a choice. He could obey regardless of the cost, or he still could have gone the easy route and been like, God, no, I just don't want this for my life. I don't want to deal with it. And he could have run away. Joseph chose obedience, even though he knew it was going to cost him. He knew people weren't going to believe him. And here's the thing about our lives. If you're living and following Jesus, you are going to do things that people do not understand. You are going to make choices that they think are foolish and stupid. You're going to have people tell you that you are being foolish and stupid. Why would you spend so much time at church? Why would you give so much money to church? Why would you forgive that person who did that terrible thing to you? The world is full of condemnation because they simply don't understand. But as followers of Jesus, when we choose to obey, we have to understand we are going to sacrifice our reputation at times. If you have never faced that situation, perhaps you're not following Jesus the right way. Like, we are told that if you are a follower of Jesus, the world is going to hate you. You can be a father or follow the light or follow the darkness. There's no in between here. Okay? So that's what Joseph chose, to obedience, even though he knew that there would be sacrifice of his reputation. And we have that exact same choice in front of us. But we have to decide to care more about what God thinks than about what anybody else thinks in our life. If you can understand that and live that out, you will find a lot more contentment. The final part of our passage, verses 22 through 25. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So as we've seen, Joseph probably had a very different vision for what his family would look like. But God had a reason why things had to go this way. You see, over 700 years before this moment, Isaiah the prophet had made a prophecy as recorded in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that said the virgin would conceive a child. And so that's how God had to enter into this world. Somebody was going to go through this chaotic series of events. But God chose Mary and God chose Joseph. Special people. Not worthy of our prayer or our worship. Don't get me wrong. We're not going to do that. But we recognize God honored them. He trusted them. And you see, what makes this prophecy and its fulfillment then of a child born to a virgin so incredibly important is what it means that Jesus Christ did not have an earthly father. Jesus had a human mother. He had a divine father. We say this in theological terms, that Jesus Christ is fully human and fully God. He is 100% like us, and yet he is 100% God. So he can relate to us. Hebrews says we can come to him with all of our prayers and all of our pain and all of our worries because he has experienced everything just like us. And that is fantastic news. But he is also fully God. So in a way, he's completely unlike us. He did not inherit a sin nature like we did. That is why he lived a perfect life. He was able to choose obedience at every single turning point in his life so he could offer himself up as truly a perfect, sinless sacrifice for God in a way that none of us ever could. We cannot experience salvation apart from somebody who is fully human and fully God. A God-man who comes to save the people. If you recall, that was the very tail end of verse 21. The tale said, because he will save his people from their sins. There is no salvation from sins without the divine and the human coming together to be a sacrifice for us on our behalf. This fact of Jesus Christ being born to a virgin is crucial to our understanding of our faith and how we are saved. Some churches have taken the virginity of Mary and been like, well, that's not necessarily important. It can also just mean a young woman. If Jesus was 100% human and not 100% God, then he couldn't do anything that makes a difference for our eternity. And so we have to hold on to that belief that Jesus was born of a virgin. That matters. And that's why Matthew specifically calls out, Joseph never consummated the marriage until Mary gave birth to Jesus. That fact matters. And so we recognize Jesus came from a supernatural and miraculous birth to a young virgin, fulfilling the prophet of Isaiah. What this also means for us then is that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. That means that God enters into our messy and unplanned moments. For Mary and Joseph, life was very disorienting and challenging when they each had the angels appear to them. I'm sure Mary had no intentions of instantly becoming pregnant. They were probably like us. They had their 5 years to just enjoy marriage, travel a little bit, and then plan their families. You know how young people are today. They tie it year by year, you know, don't do this too quick. That's not what they got to experience at all. But what they did experience is that God came to them even in their unplanned parenthood. Jesus comes to us in our unplanned moments, in the chaos of our lives when we feel like everything is unraveling. We have to trust we have a God who is with us. That's crucial. When you get that phone call from the doctor, we've got the results. They're not good. God with you. When your child does something that you just are like, I cannot believe you did this. What were you thinking? I don't know how we're going to deal with this. God with you. When you get the call about the horrific accident, God with you. We have God among us. He came to this earth. He's now given us his spirit. This is how we're able to live in this messy and broken world. It's not because as Christians we have a book and we read it and we just follow all the rules and then our life is going to be bliss. Joseph and Mary were clearly righteous people. It did not mean that their life was easy and bliss. It actually meant that their life was harder because God had a plan for them that was important. It was incredibly valuable to all of humanity. It just wasn't their plan. Maybe that's your life. Maybe you've got a plan, God's got a different plan, and you need to let go of your plan and say, God, okay, what's your plan for my life? I'm going to let go. I want to follow you. I'm going to trust you. Even when you have that disorienting detour where you're like, what is this? Rather than fighting it, letting go and saying, okay, God, what is this and why are you doing this? Let me follow it. Let me trust you. Life didn't go how Joseph planned, but he let go and he followed and he trusted God and he was obedient and he responded in all the right ways and his righteousness showed through. And as a result, we have Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, comes to this earth, raised by loving, wonderful parents, and is able to do what all of us needed him to do. It's because of Jesus Christ coming into this world, even into the mess, that we now have hope. That we can experience life, that we know that even in our own mess, God's not far from us, but we have God with us, Emmanuel. When we think, I don't know how I got here, I don't know what God's doing with it, that's okay. God knows. Just follow those steps, and your life will be A-okay. So from this lesson, I hope that you have learned something from the example of Joseph's story, recognizing that you don't have to follow your own plan. We simply follow the God who has a plan that you might not yet understand for yourself. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?